The Brisker of Rav Velvel once related concerning Rav Chaim Velozhin that his Ahavas HaTorah, he said, was Adla Hafli. It was amazing to behold the Ahavas HaTorah of Rav Chaim Velozhin, that he was once walking on the street and he meets a poor man. And this other man says to Rav Chaim, not knowing who he was, that he has a very interesting Dvar Torah to tell him. Would he like to hear it? Rav Chaim sees this Oni in front of him, and he figured, what can he already tell him? But Maisa, he offers the Dvar Torah, he says, sure, I'm ready to hear it. So the Oni said, but one tanai, if you pay me 1 ruble. Rav Chaim hears this, being charged a ruble. Takes out his wallet, gives him a ruble, and says, I'm very happy to pay you the ruble, he says, to hear your Dvar Torah. And this Oni goes on and tells him, which, by the way, this Shabbos is already Shabbos Mevorchim Chodesh Adar. He says, we find Bishas, the Gzeru was Nigzar. The Gzeru of Homan Lahashbid Laharig Olabed. So the Medrash says in Esther Rabbam, Parsha Zayin Ois Yud Ches, this is the Medrash now. The Medrash says, Beferish, that Eliyahu Anovi came. He comes to Mordechai and he's Megala to Mordechai that the Gzeru was already decreed. The Gzeru Shemaim was decreed. Lahashmin Lahari Golabit. So Mordechai Tzadik, Chazal tell us, asked him one question. I want to know if this Gzeru, if it was sealed Bedam, or it was sealed Betit, in lime. And the difference is, because if the Gzeru, says the Medrash, Mordechai says, if the Gzeru is sealed Betit, if it's only in lime, then it's revocable. It can be overturned. However, the Gzeru was sealed Bedam, so Mameli says it's very, very difficult to overturn that Gzeru. So they told him, the Medrash says, they told him that the Gzeru is Betit. It's only in lime. So Mela with Tefillah and so on, with the Zohoko, one is able to overturn the Gzeru. So the Yoni asks, Reb Chaim, he says, do you know where this is Merumis in the Megillah? That the Gzeru was not sealed in Dam, it was only sealed in Tit? And Reb Chaim says, no, I don't know. I don't know where this is Merumis in the Megillah. And then he goes on and tells him. The Pasuk says as follows. It says in the Megillah there in Perek Dalet, with Peroshas HaKesef concerning the sum of money, Asher Omar Homan Lishkoel Al Ginzeh HaMelech, that Homan went in order to have it weighed for the king's treasury, by Yehudim La'abdom, to destroy the Eden, for the sum of money. Then again, there's another Pasuk. The Pasuk is later Perek Tes, Ki Homan Ben Hamadoso Agogi Tzayirei Kol HaYehudim, Choshev al Yehudim, he contemplated la'abdom in order to destroy them. Said the Yoni, he said la'abdom is loy bedam. That's la'abdom. The Choshev al Yehudim, yes, he contemplated and he planned in order to destroy the Eden. However, it says, the Loshin says la'abdom, and the word la'abdom is made up of two words, which is loy bedam. Reb Chaim was very, very despoiled, and as he said later on, when Reb Chaim was by the Goyin, so Mameli tells him the story. So the Goyin says that the truth is, what the Yoni is telling you, what the Eliyahu, who told Mordechai Tzadik that it was only sealed in Tit, he already told him, Lamaisa, where it's going to be in Merumas as well. So in other words, this already goes back to the Kabbalah very well from the first start. So interesting thing. So this is something from Reb Chaim Velozhin that was related by Rav Velvel Brisker. What we are up to here in the Nefesh HaChaim, Rabbi Zai, is in Perek Yud, and Reb Chaim here debates a fascinating topic. And again, this is all a hemshech of course, which the prokim that followed one after the other, dealing with Tzelem Elokim, talking about Gadlus Odom, talking about the far-reaching effects that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave man in the upper worlds in the Olam HaSol Yoinim. So, Mel, what we have over here is as follows: Reb Chaim here in Perek Yud is tackling the shaila whether man is capable of outshining malochim. In other words, there's a debate, there's a vikuach, there's a machlokes in the rishayim, who is greater? Are malochim greater than people, or is man greater than malochim? And Reb Chaim goes on and says as follows. Val pizeh. He said, based upon what we have learned in the previous prokim, says Reb Chaim, yivuyer pesher dovor. This will help us understand binyan shinui deyes shben gedoyla rishayim zal. will be able to understand the differences of opinion among the Rishonim. Im Odom Yisrael Godol Mahamalach, or Im Malach Godol Memenu. This is an old vikuach, this is an old debate, whether man surpasses the Malachim, or whether the Malachim outrank man. And this is difference of opinion we find in Rishonim. So Reb Chaim suggests that we find, if you look into the various sources, you'll see that each opinion finds different sources to prove his shita, his opinion, whether man is either greater than the Malachim, or vice versa, the Malachim are greater than man. V'chol echod mishnei ha-deyois, mevi rayis mufuroshois, memikrois mufuroshois. And therefore, each of the different opinions find legitimate sources to each side. However, comes now Reb Chaim and says that of alpid of Areinu Hanal, that based upon, is taki true that each of the proponents find proofs to their side from different psukim. Reb Chaim says maybe we are able sort of like to make a pshara. Maybe somehow we can reconcile both opinions. And that is, as he says, it's very possibly says that both opinions lamaisa are correct. However, they differ only to degree. In which degree, in which bechina, in which area. And Reb Chaim goes on to explain as follows. Kivadai, he says, malach godol mehodom. Of course, you put man next to a malach, and you talk about the essence of a malach and the essence of man. So avada and avada, he says, a malach is greater than man. There's no doubt about it, he says. And he points out, hein be'etzem mehusoi. He says, a malach will rate, he says, higher than man, whether you're talking about the essence. Because, of course, the essence of a malach is totally ruchnius. Whereas the essence of man is gashmius. So if you talk about the mehus, if you talk about the essence of a malach, legabe a person, so in essence in the mahus, certainly a malach would be greater. And also, hein begoidel kedushosoi v'niflois asagosoi. And also, with regards to the kedusha and his understanding in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in terms of how much closer in capability of being masig more of Gavlus Hashem, the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a malach's hasoge, a malach's comprehension in what's in connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything is, which follows, which is connected, of other malach is greater in his hasoges. His intelligence is not limited by physical intelligence. His, the malach, the koiches that a malach has, which is totally, completely spiritual, whether in his mahus, whether in his essence, or whether in his kedusha, in the flois hasagosa, in his hasoge, of other malach is greater. As he points out, ein erech v'dimyoin b'neim klal. As a matter of fact, the difference, he says, there is such a great, he says, vast of distance, that the malach, of course, one cannot even try to compare in kedusha, in mahus, man to a malach. Avada, if you're focusing on that nekuda, a malach is greater. By the way, it's kedai to mention that in fact, when the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah, which according to what Reb Chaim is saying here, we can really understand it. But the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof Aleph, it says, "Chamishim Sharei Bino Nivru Boilam." There are 50 levels of Bino. Chamishim Sharei Bino. In terms of Ahavon and understanding, higher understanding, more higher understanding, we're talking about in areas of Kedusha, the highest level of Havona. There are 50 Dargis. The highest Darge, the Madrega, is the 50th. And Chazal say, "Vekulon Nisnu LeMoshe." It says, "Chosar Echot." Moshe Rabbeinu himself only had 49. He did not have the complete 50. And the Gemara brings the Pasuk Shenemar, V'tchasreyu ma'at milokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was machasar him, man. So of course Moshe Rabbeinu was a human being. V'tchasreyu, man was left deficient a little bit. Ma'at milokim. What does milokim mean? Now literally, milokim would mean from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Man is below HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is obvious. Rabbeinu Chananel goes on, another Rishayim, milokim means a malach. But chasrayum at melikim, which means that pasuk implies that man's havona, man's hasoge, is less than a malach. Which means a malach is, you're talking that he could comprehend chamishim sharei bino. Whereas man, even Moshe Rabbeinu, only has 49. So this is the explanation of at chasrayum at melikim. And so, by the way, there are many other rishonim as well. And in fact, the goyin, the Vilna goyin himself, in Shir HaShirim, says the Moshe Rabbeinu only received Memtes, 49 Sharei Binot. However, says the Goyin, the Malachim have 50. They have the whole 50. Man is that chasrei umat melikim. Man has been reduced. Has been reduced a little bit. One darga less. One madrega less. So therefore, this is what really what Reb Chaim is saying. That in terms of hasoge, in terms of understanding, in terms of havona, in terms of hasoge selikis, in terms of kedusha, Avadi says the malach is greater. And in fact, the Zohar says it in Parshas Bereishis, Bemedrash Hanelam. It is mentioned over there, Beparshas, Vayikra Lekim Lor Yoim, the Medrash says, Hasoge Samalochim, Hi Hasoge Gedoylo. The Medrash says that the Hasoge of the Malochim, he says, that is a Hasoge Gedoylo, that is a tremendous Hasoge. They have tremendous comprehension and Havonah. Masha'inkin Lamatamhen, but then there is another Madrega which is lower, right? And he says there's Hasogi Shnia Chuli. The Zohar says Hasogi Shnia, interestante, is the planets. The Koychovim and Mazolois have an innate comprehension of Godless Hashem. We think of them as totally inanimate objects. But yet the Zohar tells us that the Koychovim, the Mazolois, have a Hargosha and have a Havona in Godless Habayre. And they are just under the Malochim. The Malochim are the Hasogi Rishoyna. Then come the Hasogi Shnia, the Hasogi Shnia. It says here, Bechuli, it doesn't mention it, but what the Zohar says, these are the Koychovim, the Mazolis, this is one step lower. And what is the third, which is the lowest Darge, the lowest Madrega? That's man. That is the Hasoge Shlishis. It says, Reb Chaim, Hasoge Shlishis, he, Hasoge HaMadrega HaTachtoino, Asher Be'ofer Yisoido. Man is Yisoido Me'ofer. Ve'hi Hasoge Zbnei Odom. And so on. So now we go to the next paragraph. Basically, he's bringing another Raya from a Zohar. However, says Reb Chaim, having said that, that in the inyan of the mahus, in the inyan of essence, or in the inyan of kedusha, or you're talking about the inyan of havona, avada malach is greater. But there is a nekuda where man outshines all the malachim. There is an aspect, there is an area where malachim cannot compare themselves to man. There's an area where man is able to surpass the koiches of a malach, and that is omnom bedovar echod. However, regarding one situation, there's one spot. Yisroin godol yodom amalochim. In spite of everything, in spite of the godless of a malach, there's one area where man has, he says, the extra. Man has the yisra, and man has the extra mile, where man stands above the malachim. Vehi, who, and that is Haloas, the Hiskashuis, Ho'oilomois, the power that man has, that he can affect the higher worlds through his actions. All of the Koiches, Vaho'oirois, Echad Bachaveroi, Asheze Ein Bekoyach Klaalishumalach. Remember, if Chaim had developed in the previous Prokim, that man through his actions down here actually controls the upper worlds. He can build them, or he can destroy them. And he said that either b'machshove, b'dibra, b'maise, how man thinks, how man speaks, what man does through his deeds, through his actions. So man actually, not only he builds oilumis, he also makes connections. He combines all of the upper worlds, brings them together through his acts of kedusha, through his speech of kedusha. He can also destroy. A malach has no koyach to affect the upper worlds. And even though he's there, he is in the upper worlds. But his maise, his being, when a malach says shir takol yibrochu, whatever it is, he cannot affect the upper worlds. The koyches that takol yibrochu endowed man to be able to have an effect and hashpoah on the oilam esol yoinim, much greater than a malach. A malach cannot do that. In spite of all the kedusha that a malach has, in spite of the mehus, in spite of his essence, in spite of his hasoge, but he doesn't have the power. He does not have the power that a takol yibrochu endowed man with. As he points out, and he gives the reason. For mitam hanal, the idea why man is able to affect through his actions the upper worlds, because you have to realize, ki amalach hu be'etzem koyach echot proti levad, because a malach really only represents himself. He represents one area, which is the essence, the being of the malach. That's all he represents. He represents himself, and that's all that it encompasses. She ain't boy, because the essence, the ingredients of a malach does not contain kililois kol oilom es yachad. A malach does not contain is his kalalus, which means the all-encompassing all of the worlds that exist within himself. In other words, we have learned above that man, if you might remember, is really a microcosm of all the worlds. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man by putting a bit of everything in the upper world into man. Man is sort of like a puzzle put together from all and everything that exists in the upper worlds that has been put into man. So man, the Mitzvah, if you want to define man, what is the ingredients of man? Man has within himself a chelik of all of the Olamos. So therefore that being that man consists part of each and every world within him, so all of the other worlds, basically, he's an extension of those worlds. A malach does not have all of the oilemus contained within the malach. Man capsulizes within himself all of the oilemus. Is if a Kadosh Baruch Hu took all of the oilemus and put it into man. Man is made up from a cloud of all of the oilemus together. As he points out, that is something that a malach does not have. He does not have the klilus of kol oilemus yachad. V'chein kosa beitz chayim. And so it's mentioned, it's Chaim Shar Pnimius V'Chitzonius. He says, Resh Drush Yud, the beginning of the 10th Drosha. Shal Malach Einoi Rak B'chine Protis Shal Oysoi Ho'oilam Sha'oilam Edboi. The Malach only represents and only has a Shaykhis to that particular world where he's been stationed. He has no Shaykhis with any other world or any other Mokim. Aval Nishma So'odom, however, the Nisham of man, the neshama of man, b'chol gimel ha'chelke naran shaloi. In all, he says, in all of the three chalokim of naran. Naran, of course, is the Kabbalistic Rosh Hashanah of nefesh, ruach, and neshama. We know that nefesh, ruach, and neshama, these are three chambers of one's total neshama. One's total neshama is made up of three chalokim. Actually, the Balaam Kabbalim say there's five. There's nefesh, ruach, neshama, chayo, yechido. But basically the three that is mostly talked about is Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. And these are, by the way, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, as he points out here, Naran, Nun, Resh, Nun, that's the Rosh HaTevis. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. Nefesh is the lowest Madrega of the Neshama. In other words, Nefesh is, if one can call it, the Balatanya points it out, is the animalistic part of the Neshama. You know, relatively speaking, the Neshama is all spiritual. But there's higher and there's lower level. The lower level of spirituality in the neshama, we call it the nefesh habahamis, we call it the animalistic chelik. The animalistic chelik of the neshama is called nefesh. Ruach is the part which is above nefesh, and neshama is the highest part. So these are the three parts. Nefesh is the lowest part, ruach is the one above nefesh, and neshama is the highest part. So a man, with all of his three chalokim, as he says, the nishmas odom, Bechol gimel ha'chelke naran shelo, with all of the three chalokim of his neshama, nefesh, ruach, neshama, he kelula mikol oilamois. Man again is a microcosm of all the worlds. And therefore, being that he basically contains within himself all of the oilamois, he has a tremendous power. But a malach does not have that. Therefore, a malach does not have the ability he cannot elevate any other world. He cannot bring together different worlds together. He says, which are above their heads. He says, "Hanotu al rasheim ki misheino." He says, "Kolu l'mishutav mehem," being that he is not kolu and he's not mishutav mehem. He is not. He's not Meshutiv. He's not part of them. The worlds are separate and apart from him. The Malach is his own being and the worlds are apart from him. But man is not apart from the Oilem Esel Yoinim. But rather, man is a capsule of all of the Oilem Esel Yoinim have a chelik in him. So man is made up of ingredients of all of the different parts of all of the different Oilemos. And therefore, whatever he does has an effect in the upper world. The common emotion and the understanding for that is, we say Yaakov Chevel Nachloso. We say that Yaakov is like a string. You think about a string which can be a mile high or 20 miles high. You have a long string. The upper end is connected to the upper, to an upper mokim, and then you have the lower part. If you shake it on the bottom, it affects the top. You shake the rope on the bottom because it's one string, it's one rope. Just shake it in the bottom, and it has an effect. It has a ripple effect on top too. Man, which is part of the Olam Esel Yoinim, so whatever he does down here has an effect in the upper worlds as well, but not just a ripple effect, but actually a mamoshesdig effect. Interesting to point out that the Medrash tells us, by the way, and this is parenthetically, which we can understand with what Reb Chaim is saying here, Medrash tells us that Omar Ravacha, Ravacha says, and this is in Bereishis Yudzayin, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to create man, so he decided to take counsel, ask the Malachim if it's a good idea or not. So Medrash says, Nimlach v'malachah ashoris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and he asked and took counsel with the Malachim. So Omar Lahen, and he said to the Malachim, Nas Odom, you know what? I hit on an idea. Let us go, let us make a man. Omar Lahen, Malachim heard, make a man, so he said, Odom ze ma tivoy. Who is this man? What is he? What is a man? Never saw a man before. What is this man going to be like? What does it mean making a man? Who is this man? What is this man? O Maloi, listen to this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Malachim, Chochmosoi merube mishalachem. He's smarter than you are. And then it says, Hevi lifneim es habehema. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought to them the animals. There's achaya and the beasts. There's ha'oif. O Malachem. He said to them, Zeh mashemoi. Try to give names to all of these behemoths, chayes, and oifes. And Chazal said, Lohoyu yoidim. They couldn't name them. Of course, they could have given Stam a name. But we know, as we point out many, many times, a name basically relates to the Shoirish Nishama, to the Pneumius of that being. A name is not just you take a sticker and you put something on. And you just like change your shirt, you know, you decide you just put a different sticker on. A name defines the essence, the Metzius of a person. How do we once point out? The Sifra Chassidus, they take the word Neshama. What is the middle letters of the word Neshama? Shame, the name. That's the Neshama of a person. That is the essence. That is the center. That is the focus. A man's Neshama, the middle letters, is Shin Mem. That's the shame. That's the name. The name of a person. How do you know what is the Shoyrish Neshama? You look at a person, they all look the same on the outside. How do you know whose Shoyrish Neshama is what? When you look at a behemoth, and you want to give a name to an animal, by the way, it's Loshen Kodesh name, which in that name is supposed to be the definition based upon the tziruf of the yosis and so on. When it's supposed to be able to define the essence of that particular creation, of that particular creature. Malachim were not able to fathom. They were not able to be yoreid, to know the whole pnimis of each and every animal, to be able to give it the proper name that will define its essence. Adam Arishin had that koyach. That's the godless when we say Adam Arishin gave names. What's the big deal? Torah says Adam Arishin gave a name. So he called this one lion and he called this one bear and he called it... What's the big deal? And would it have been so bad if you called the animal, if you called the lion, you're a giraffe? You know what, in a giraffe, you call you a lion. We would get used to that too. But the names that he gave them, because those names are not just by accident a name. Let's choose a name. These were names that by definition define the essence and the metzias of that particular creature. Malachim were not able to do that, says the Medrash. Malachim were not able to do that. As you pointed out already from Rav Chaim Shmulevich, as he says in one of the Shemuzim, he says, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu Chazal said that he had 10 names. Moshe Rabbeinu had 10 names in Vayikra El Moshe. His name was Avigdor, his name was Yekusiel, of course his name was Moshe, and so on. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu need 10 names? So Rav Chaim Shmulevich says, because Moshe Rabbeinu was so multi-talented. There's so many features that made up Moshe Rabbeinu that one name could not describe it. One name could not describe the essence of a Moshe Rabbeinu, being that he had so many features, so many milas that made up a Moshe Rabbeinu, being the crown of the Bria. He needed more than one name. One name would not do justice. He'd be able to capture the essence of a Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Malachim were not able to do that, because they did not know the pnimius of a behemah, each chaya, each oif. They did not know it. Then it says, Haviram lifnahodom, says the Medrash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show the Malachim who this man is. You see, you are not able to do this. I'll give the same challenge to Odom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mavir, he passed the animals in front of Odom Rishon. Omar loy, zeh mashemoy. Omar, Odom Rishon responded, zeh shoyer, zeh chamoyer, zeh sus, zeh gomol. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked them, okay, you know the names of all the animals. Fa'ato mashimcha, what about your name? Who are you? You may know what the animals are, but what about you, Odom Rishon? What is your name? Chazal say, Omar Loi, Odom Rishon says, Ani Noel Hikare Odom. My name appropriately, he said, it would be very, very, he says, appropriate to be called Odom. Shinevresi Minu Adomo. My essence is Minu Adomo. This is a simple reading of the Medrash. There's a lot goes into it. But what is very interesting, according to what Reb Chaim really is telling us, we can understand where Adam, in fact, derives all of this knowledge. Where Adam derives. Because Adam, Arishan, man, is not just man, one chelik of all of creation. Man is the all-encompassing. He has includes within himself everything, in other words, that exists in the Bria lies in man. So man, as we pointed out many times in the past, man has a chelik ari. He has a chelik sus, a chelik chamor, a chelik of all of the yifes. All of the animal world contributed a chelik of their essence into man. So man really is a puzzle, which is put together of all of the different Nevroim, all gave a chelik of themselves into man. So therefore, if all the animals and all the yifes and all the chayis actually are part of man, all the man had to do is look into himself, and now he would know what the others are. So man was able to understand that. Because in fact, he really is part of all of them, that he had to look into himself. If a man would look into himself, that really is all of the behemoths in the world, all of the chayis in the world, and all of the oifis in the world. That's all part of man himself. And this is something which we can see, because as a matter of fact, as Chazal tell us, that's one of the reasons, of the many, many different reasons, but one of the reasons given, why was man left to be the last person created, Yom HaShishi, after all of the animal world, right, the worlds of the Chayis and the Oifis, the fish, man was left at the end. Why was man left at the end? Why was he created at the end? So the Medrash tells us, because once HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the animal world and all of the different creatures, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now told all of the creation, existing creatures, I want you to contribute a chelik of yourselves to create this new thing going to be called man. So therefore we had to have first the essence, the Metzias. We had to have first all the other creatures. And all of the other creatures would give a chelik of themselves, would contribute a chelik of themselves in order to make man. So man is the makeup of all of them put together. So if you want to see what exists in the entire world, just look at one person. Look at one person and you have in that one person, you have the entire world, a shtickel of the entire world. Any creature that exists in the world, mitcholosavat soifoi, is in man. Man is the klolos, is the klolos of everything that is in the Bria. Now comes the chiddush, he is not only the Bria down here, man is also the klolos of the oilam esol yoinim. All of the oilam esol yoinim, a chelik of all of those oilam is also to be found in man. And therefore man, by his acts and by his deeds, has this tremendous far-reaching effect in what happens in the oilam esol yoinim. That's what Reb Chaim is telling us. We go now further. Vigam, that Reb Chaim says, the Gam Aliyah, he says, not only does man affect, he says, the upper worlds, but also man affects the status of the Malach himself. In other words, whether a Malach in a particular given day is on a higher level, or a Malach on a particular given day is on a lower level, is also dependent on man. Man, through his actions, elevates the Bria, lowers the Bria, builds the Bria, destroys the Bria, elevates Malachim, or lowers Malachim. And therefore he says, the Gami says, that the Aliyas atzmusoi shel ha-malach ad madregosoi. Therefore the Aliyah, elevating the Malach to his madrega, lehiskasher be'olam sholov, that a Malach should be able to connect with a world that's above the Malach. A Malach would like to rise to a higher madrega, to have a shaykhet to the world that's above him. What is the elevator? What is the elevator that brings, that raises the Malach up to the next world, which is above him? It's man. He says, ein tolu bai be'atzmoi. That is not determined by the Malach himself. The Malach himself does not have a koyach to elevate himself, he says, to the world that's above him. Lachain, therefore, he says, Nikroim. Therefore, the Malachim are called Oimdim. A Malach is called an Oimid because he is stationary. He cannot move. He's not a hoylech. He's not one that moves from Madrega to Madrega. Kamashikosov, Novi Yeshaya says, Serafim Oimdim. Yeshai says that the Seraphim, the Malachim, that they were standing. And then there's another pasuk in Zechariah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Yeshua, Kohen Godel, and says to him, "Nesati lecho mehalchim ben oimdim ho'ele. I will give you striding, I will give you strides among these Malachim who are standing here." In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yeshua, Kohen Godel, if you follow in my ways, you'll see to keep my mitzvahs. You'll be a leader in the ways that Hashem wants you to be, you'll be zoiche. V'nesati lecho mehalchim ben ho'imdim ho'ele, means in oilam haba, where the malachim are oimdim, you will be among them. Nesati lecho mehalchim, you will be able to have a madrega between the oimdim, between the malachim who are always standing. By the way, the Sforim say, it's said in many, many hespedim, that in the next world, basically, everybody's an oymet. Because we only have the opportunity to do Torah and mitzvahs on this world. In this world, we can be a hoylech. We can continue to grow from madrege to madrege. Once we are gone, we cannot do anything for ourselves. So technically, we would be what? We would be oymdim. However, if we have offspring, children who follow in our ways, in our derech, their mitzvahs make us being mahalchim in the next world too. In the upper world, everybody's an oymed, yet you can be a mahalch. I will give you a way to be a hoylech in an area where everybody is an oymed. In the upper world, everybody's an oymed. You cannot do anything for yourself. But yet there is an etzah to be a hoylech there too. There's a way to be a hoylech. I will give you mahalchim. I will give you a way to be a mahalach, to be a hoylech, even the next world. And that is if one's children continue and follow in his ways. Al-Koponim, the Pasuk Yishaya, points out that the Malachim are called Oimdim. V'rak ha'odam levad hu ha'maylev ha'makasher. Only man is the one that can elevate worlds. He can connect u'miyachid es ha'oylamoiz v'ha'oyres and all of the lights b'koyach ma'asov. Man can raise the lights, he can lower the lights. Talking about spiritual lights. He can make it dark, he can make it dim, he can make it light, he can illuminate. Everything depends. Everything depends on the quality of his actions, the quality of his deeds. Only man can do that. Why can man do it? Again. Machmashuhu kolul mikulam. Because man basically is a microcosm of all of the worlds. He's a microcosm of all of the worlds. And therefore, v'ozgam hamalach masig, he says, oleo v'toisvis kedush al kudishosoy. So therefore the Malach also gets advantage and additional Kiddusha on his Kiddusha, Kasher Bo B'Koyach Ma'asodam. All through the action of man. Mipnei Shigam Hu Kol Abodam. Even the Malach spirituality is also in man. So there's a Shtikl Malach in man too. Amazing thing, what Reb Chaim tells us. So Avada, the Malach itself, being that he's totally spiritual Lamaise, there's no physical aspect, so the Malach Avada, his level of Kiddusha is greater. Metzadatzimoy. The Malach's Hasogin HaKadosh Baruch Hu is greater Mitzad Atzmai. There's no limitation of any physical brain, which is just physical. But the powers and the koyach and the ability that actions to affect the Olam HaSayyim, to control the Olam HaSayyim, a Malach cannot do that at all. As a matter of fact, the Malach is subservient. His Madrege is totally by the deed of man, whether up or down. So man, in fact, has the koyach HaMem Sholah. He has the koyach of being Moshel and has dominion over the upper worlds and over the Malach himself. So again, as we see, because the Malach is not like that. A Malach Lamaisa is only part of his own world. There's no Shaykh is only with that world that he's part of. Whereas a man is not like that. So he cannot exert. The Malach cannot exert influence on the other worlds. But man, again, is not like that. He basically is a chelik of all of the worlds put together. And therefore he has a tremendous koyach. And he goes on to say one more paragraph. Vegam ha-gimel b'chinois naran shel odam atzmoy. And he goes even further. He wants to show how great the ability I gave man. Interesting thing is the guf of the person. If you look at the composite of a mensch, if you look at a person is a combination of a neshama and a guf. There is no question. The neshama, that is the chelik ruchniyeh. That's the chelik that is the chelik olikai mimal. The guf is just off from an adoma. That's all. And yet, there is something magical about the human body. There's something magical to the human body, and that is, as great as the neshama is, it's kulay ruchnius. It comes from the upper world. The neshama is kulay kedusha. As great as the neshama is, but the ability for the neshama to do things, to build or destroy, it needs the human body. In other words, the Nisham, again, the Malach is very great. He has a lot of Kedusha. But he's only limited to his own world, to his own place. He cannot affect, does not have influence on other worlds. The Nisham of man also, Mitzad Atzmoy, would not have influence on the other worlds. The Nishama which went into man, and therefore gave the body, gave life to the human body, now the Nishama through the human body, his koyach is limitless, it's endless. B'li gvul b'li erech. That's what Reb Chaim is trying to tell us. The tremendous koyach in the human body, this team, this combination cannot be beat. The combination of a neshama, which is kulay shamayim, together with the human body, even though it is kulay physical, but putting them together, This is the tremendous ability and power that has now been charged, has now been created. And that's what Reb Chaim is telling us now in this paragraph. Vegam ha-gimel b'chinois, nefesh, ruach, and neshama. The three elements of man's neshama. Even the three elements of man's neshama, which is nefesh, ruach, neshama, lo initin lahem zeh ha-koyach. Look what Reb Chaim says. That they were not given the power. They were not given the power to elevate themselves. Ha-koyach ha-haloa v'ha-iskashri shal o'ilam ez v'shal atzmam. They do not have the power to elevate themselves in the higher worlds. Only when do they have that power? Ad riditom lozeho oilam hamaisi begufa odom. Until they came down to this world, they did not have that power. So as great as the neshama is, as holy as the neshama is, as spiritual as the neshama is, the powers that man can affect, the neshama did not have until it came down to this lowly world. It's sort of like a paradox. The neshama has to come down to this lowly world and therefore find or being taken hostage by this body which is called man, and thereby all of a sudden a tremendous, tremendous power has been charged, has been created. Reb Chaim says the Posik that we have read many times, and the Posik says that Vayipach be'apov nishmas chayim, and the Posik says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathed into his nostrils of man, it says the soul of life, right? Guf Adam. But what does it say later? It says Oz vahi ho Adam lenefesh chayo. Reb Chaim says man became a living being, not only himself. Lenefesh chayo means shall kol oilamus. He becomes a living being of all. In other words, man is the neshama of all of the worlds. We had that already before, Reb Chaim. In other words, man has his own neshama. The upper worlds also has a neshama. What is the neshama? What is the soul? Where is the soul of the upper worlds? That's man himself. So man is the neshama of the upper worlds. Man, through his neshama, becomes the neshama for all of the upper worlds. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu blows the neshama into man. Now that man has a neshama, he becomes a nefesh chayo shel kol olamos. He becomes now in turn, he is the soul of all of the upper worlds. That is godless Adam, the greatness of man. And he concludes, he says, "V'ugam kein inyan mare hasulam shel Yaakov Avinu olav hasholem." And in fact, he says, that is really the message. When Yaakov Avinu was shown the ladder, of course, in his dream. So Yaakov Avinu, of course, when he sees this is exemplified by the image of the ladder. Ayin raya mehemna in Parshas Nosoi, that is the Zohar HaKodesh. It says, Vayipa Bapov Nishmas Chaim, and says the Itmar Pei, it says Vayachloim Vihnei Sulam. So Sulam, says the Zohar, means Sulam Vada Iu Nishmas Chaim Ayin Shom. The Zohar says Sulam is the Moshul, is the metaphor for the Neshama. The same way that you have the ladder, which is Sulam is Mutzav Arzo Veroisha Megia Shemaimo, the Neshama of man, which of course starts out from the top. By the way, remember Reb Chaim made the Diyuk, it says Mutzav Arzo. Mutzav Arzo means it starts someplace else and ends by the earth. Mutzav Arzo, which means to say is the neshama of man really still is always connected. A chelik of the neshama of man is still in the upper world. It is only the end of one's neshama which is in the guf. As he says it later here again. He says, we'll talk about it more. Ratzeloimer al yidei hanishoma hanishmas chayim shumutzav orzo mislabeshes ketzas hatachton shelo. Only a little bit, he says. Only a little bit, he says. The end of one's nishoma goes into guf adam, and through him, through this bead, through this combination, through his nishoma entering the guf. Now malachim lekim is oydim v'yardim boy. We already explained oydim v'yardim boy. Whether malachim are up or down, who does it depend? Boy, depends on the neshama of a person, how the person behaves. This is koyach adam. So the kisa, what Reb Chaim tells us here in this perik, in perik yud, regarding the machlokes rishonim, whether man outshines malachim, or whether malachim surpasses man, Reb Chaim suggests that what did elu velo divrei Chaim, if you look at a malach mitzad atzmoi, mitzad his mahus, mitzad his essence, mitzad his kedusha, mitzad his asoge, malach has greater hasogis. But in the power, what man has the ability to achieve, the role of man in this world, way outshines the koyach of a malach. A malach's ability with all of his kedusha is very, very limited. And matter of fact, his faith is totally in man. Man controls all of the upper worlds through his actions and his deeds, and in fact controls the madrega of a malach himself. So I'd like to take a look, Rabbi, a little bit here at the sheet, to see a little bit this role, the inyan of how to view the difference between man and Malach. I'd like to tell you something very interesting that I heard this many years ago. There was an Asifus Rabbonim in the house of Reb Chaim Brisker, and there was one particular person there who kept relating many moifsim and wonders about one of his rebbes. Maybe it was a chosid, chweisnish. You know, he was telling a lot of moifsim from his rebbe, and he went on, and every time when he related another story, another maisa, another moifis from his rebbe, Reb Chaim used to say the following. Chaim says, moifis, he says, is a very great thing, but I want you to know, he says, by us, moifsim is nishtoir. This is what Reb Chaim said. And he went on, was not in the spoil and continued. And by the way, the Brisker of Revelva says he was there at the time. He was there at the time. And finally, Reb Chaim says to him, listen, he says, he finally, like, he said, he wanted to get even with him. He says, listen, he says, let me just tell you, he says, a little bit about my father, he says, the Beis Halevi. Yosef Doiv, the Briskerov. And he says to him, it's an unbelievable thing. He says, when my father, the Beis Halevi, said Reb Chaim was in Slutsk, he says, they came and they once told him that there is a fire burning at the end of town. They came and told my father, the Beis Halevi, that a fire burned at the end of town. The Beis Halevi asked for a pail of water. They brought him a pail of water in his house. And he starts pouring water. And he says, is the fire still burning over there? And he's pouring water over here. And he keeps pouring and pouring until they said the fire is out. And then Reb Chaim said, but moivsim is nishkan toir. And then Reb Chaim continued and said, maise number two. Reb Chaim says that his younger sister once came into the house and smelled that there was fire burning. And he come into the house, amazing thing, come into the house, into the room, and I see that the Beis Halevi had a burning piece of metal, red hot piece of metal. And the Beis Halevi was applying it to the Mokim Tefillin to test himself whether the Eshel Gehenim is shoylet in him. And he put it to his head and was not affected whatsoever. So Reb Chaim, but by us again, Moivsim is Nishkan Torah. And then he said, Maisa number three. Maisa number three says, Reb Chaim says, when I was a child, he said, I got involved with some friends. And the kids are, friends get into a little fight here and there. And I got so angry, says Reb Chaim says, child. So I got so angry, he says, in a way that in all my life, I never experienced such anger. And I came to the house, and my father, the Beis Levi, saw how angry I was. So he took my tzitzis, and he took my hand, and put my hand on the tzitzis, and I became as calm as ever. And again, Reb Chaim said, but by us, moivsim is nish kantoire. The Reb Briskerov said, I want you to know that Reb Chaim continued on about 30 maises like this, but I left after the third maise. And the Tata says it's not toire, so for me it's bittel toire, so I can't stay here. So I left. That person needed the lesson. So Reb Chaim had to tell him the 30 maises, he said. He says, but similar maises like this, he said, there was about 30 maises that Reb Chaim continued. He said about his father, the Beis Halevi, the godless of the Beis Halevi, the Kedusha of the Beis Halevi. I left after three. These are three. So they say that when they told Rabbi Zalman, when they told him these moyudig maises of the Beis Halevi, so Rabbi Zalman says, I don't believe it. So Rabbi Skirov says, he doesn't have to believe it, but we know it's true. There's Yediyah and there's Amunah. He says, he doesn't have to believe it, but we know it's true. So anyway, just a little bit of godless Odom again. So let's take a look, Rabbi Zahir, Kedushas Levi. It's a very fascinating thing. It's a few lines that we have here, the first item. You remember Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is the Balmach Nesayuch to the three Malachim. And the Pesuk says the following Loshon. V'hu oimed aleihem, Avraham Avinu stands and he's mishamish them. Avinu stands and caters to them. V'hu oimed aleihem tachas ho'etz v'yocheilu, and they're eating. Now look at these few words, how the Kedushas Levi looks at that Pesuk. Haklal hu, kimevuer, as he says, shebalabayis lo yeh misnaheg bifnei oireach yoyser migdulas oireach. This is Levi, first of all, tells us, you want to know rule number one. in Hachnosas Archim. If you're such a big tzaddik, a big machmir, and you have someone at the table who's not in your madrega, lower yourself on his behalf. Because otherwise, he's not going to feel comfortable. One of the main rules, he says in Hachnosas Archim, is that the balabayis should not conduct himself on a higher level, he says, than the Yareach. So Rabbeisai, the balabayis in this case was Avram Avinu. Who are the guests? Malochim. Who's greater? Who's supposed to lower himself? Look what he says. Continues the Kedushas lady. First of all, let's see again. The klal is that the balabayis lo yeh misnaig bifnei reach yoisa migdulas ha'oreach. Why? First of all, kedesha oreach lo yekan is balabayis. He shouldn't feel jealous. He shouldn't feel unworthy. He shouldn't lose his self-esteem. Now, v'hin a tzaddik nikra mahalich. We know a tzaddik continuously grows, goes on from madrega to madrega. He's called a mahalich. We just learned now in Nefesh HaChaim, a person an oved Hashem is a mahalich. Shehoylich tomim ma'madrega l'maylo l'mala. On the other hand, umalach nikra oimed. We just learned it. Mahalchim ben oim demoele. A mahalich is called an oimed. The kan rotzo avrom shlo yukano boya mahalachim. Avram Avinu here wanted to make sure the mahalachim don't feel envious. So what did Avram Avinu do? He slabish atzmoi bebchinas malach liyos oimeid. V'zehu v'hu oimeid aleyem. Avram Avinu lowered his madrega. Man is a hoylech. A malach is an oimeid. But being that in this situation, Avram Avinu didn't want to act in a higher madrega than the malachim, because a malach is only an oimeid, what did Avram Avinu do? For the moment, he also acted as an oimeid. V'hu oimeid aleyem. That is the lashon. Why? Because the machnes oirech is supposed to make the oirech feel as comfortable as possible. So the emphasis of who I made up. There's a hoylech. Avraham Avinu, being the Baal machnes oirech, lowers himself. And he changes himself from being a hoylech, he turns himself only into remaining an oimeid. So man bemis would be greater than a malach. Man is a hoylech. A malach is only an oimeid. So now look. So here we have a situation where what happened? What happened here? Where Avraham Avinu, as a man, as a human being, transformed himself to the bechin of a malach to being only an oimeid. We have a situation for Kert, where a malach becomes like a human being. Let's take a look at the next item. Very fascinating item. And this is, by the way, Rav Sholem Shadron says that in a sefer called Leif Sholem, the famous Magid of Yerushalayim. You might remember Vayayovik Yishimo Yad Alois HaShachar. It's a phenomenal word. Vayayovik Yishimo Yad Alois HaShachar. We have Yaakov, who was left alone, Vayivose Yaakov Lovadoi, and he has an encounter. He has an encounter that someone goes and he wrestles with him until the morning. Who is this person? Vayayovik Ishimoi. So Rashi says, Vrazal Pirshu, Chazal tell us, Shisaroi Shel Esav Oyo. It was a Malach. It was a Sar Shel Esav. So in fact, so who are the two people waging war here? Who are the two who are fighting? The conflict here is between Yaakov Avinu, who is a person, between who is the other person? Sari Shel Esav. Question. So why is the Potek say Vayayovik Ishimoi? It wasn't a man. It was a Malach. What's Vayovik Ishimoi? The Torah should have said Vayovik Malachimoi. Sarah Shalasa was not an Ish. It was not a human being. Sarah Shalasa was a Malach. Why does the Torah depict this incident as an Ish? Yeshli Hisayr Viposuk Zeh Madua Loikozva HaTorah LeHedjeshoi Zeh Malach. Why is not the Torah right before she was a Malach? And by the way, the Torah doesn't shy away. How's the beginning of that parasha? Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. If the Torah wants to say Malachim, the Torah says Malachim. There's no problem saying the word Malachim. Yishlach Yaakov Malachim is Malachim. So it should have said here, Vayayovik, not Malach. Vayayovik Ish, Vayayovik Malachim. That would have been the appropriate lotion. Kumei B'tchil Zapar, Yishlach Yaakov Malachim, and Rashi says, Malachim Amish, Avkan ho Yitzorach Lichtav L'chayro, should have said Vayayovik Malachim. Umao Atam, Shekisiso, Zoyis HaTorah. Why did the Torah hide that? The cause of a loshen ish. Why does he write the loshen ish? Shaila noisefes ish lishon. Meheichon shoav ha-malach koyech rav kozeh lilchoim biyakov avinu v'loi ein el ha-malach. Hear what kind of a kasha this is? In other words, the kasha is, the truth is, man is greater than a malach. Man's abilities is greater. The truth is, there's no wrestling match. The koyach of man, we just said, we learned now Nefesh HaChaim. Man has dominion all of the upper worlds. Man has dominion over creation. Man has dominion over the malachim. So how is a malach able to fight Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Avinu being the Isha Shoah, if there is a man, we should preface this, if there is a man that's greater than a malach, it's got to be Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is the Ishtam. Yaakov Avinu is the Bechir Shebeolis. Yaakov Avinu is the prize. So how is it Shaykh Bechal? What kind of a contest? What gave the malach a koyach to fight Yaakov Avinu? Here comes a niflidic answer. Achabir hu. Shatmiya hashniya me'ashevez chaverto. The second kasha, how a malach has a koyach to fight Yaakov, that answers the first question. Why it says vayovikish? Mipnei she'ochein, it's true. Ein bekoyach hamalach lulcha miYaakov. It is impossible for a malach to attempt to pick a fight of Yaakov Avinu. Ach min ha-shamayim, but being Shomayim had a plan. Shomayim had a plan and wanted that what? That Yaakov Avinu should be attacked. Being that Shomayim wanted Shekein Yuchal Lilchom im Yaakov, because this was Milchoma of Tum and Kedusha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan was that there should be a conflict. So how do you make it a conflict? Yaakov Avinu can outshine the Malach very instantly, in a moment. You know what the answer is? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an ace. You know what the ace was? He gave the Malach Koichos Adam. He gave the malach koiches of a man. Man can fight with man. Malach cannot fight with man. Vayayovik ish imoy means the malach was endowed with koiches of a man. Top of a fella. If a malach would have remained malach, he could not fight a Yaakov Avinu. Because man is greater than a malach. In order that a malach, any malach, should have the ability to fight man, he himself has to be somewhat of a man. So vayayovek ish imoy, the malach had to be turned somewhat. He had to be mislabish. The malach was clothed into the koiches and into the powers of man. Let's look at the lotion here. So what happened was, lefichoch omdu vihigbiru koyach lo yilisho. They went and they elevated. They elevated the power of a malach. They gave him extra koyach. Vohisifu lo yal koyach hamalach es koyach huish. They added to the koich of Malach, they added the koich of Ish, Kloimer. Es koich of Odom HaSholem they gave him. Right? The koich of Odom HaSholem, HaGodlom and HaMalach. Ubekach yochoy loredes vililchom im Yankov. Ma'ato, so now, loinetama, we have no kasha. Al chikozva hatoire vayayovik Ish imoy. Mipnei shenislabesh leshoa bekoich of Ish. Because in fact, for the moment, he really became transformed with the koiches of man. Va'adrab, the Torah wanted to emphasize that. And look at Jens, Pelaploim, as he says. It is, in fact, it is Pelaploim. And let me just conclude with this. Let me tell you a shtickle. Some Seifer's Rebbe of all time was Reb Nosson Adler. And of course, they have flaws as well. Nosson Adler basically was Nipter in the 1800s, in the beginning, year 1800 exactly. So Seif was Nipter 1840, 1839 to be exact. Snatched off Reish, because the Goyish calendar changes a few months later. Rosh Hashanah becomes in Tishrei, so it's 1839. Some Seif. Rav Nosson was the Talmud of the Pnei Yeshua. When he was 6 years old, already he was Mefursim as a Yelid Pele, as a wonder child. He already knew Shas Bavli, Yerushalmi, at a very, very young age. Everything was Alpiv. Tremendous Kedusha, tremendous Precious. They say Miyomov, he never spoke a Dvorim Betalim. It never came out of his mouth. Rav Nosson Adler. Rav Nosson Adler was a tremendous rebellious Baal Mekubal. And by the way, therefore, there are no Chedushim written, Kemat. He didn't write any Chedushim. Because Rav Nosson Adler used to say, what is the heter of writing down? We know that Torah Shel Bal Peh, Meikra Din was not allowed to be written down. But what does the Gemara say? Gittin Daf Samach, Eislas Eislashem Heferu Torah Secho. There was a danger of Torah being forgotten. I mean, there was a danger. So if Tishtakech Torah Meisrael, if Torah Shel Bal Peh, Madach, now that it's written, we still don't know it. Imagine if it would not be written. So Torah Shel Bal Peh. So the reason Torah Shel Bal Peh was written down was why? Not to forget it. And Nosson Adler says, I don't forget. He says, I don't have the heter of writing down. I don't forget. So for me, the old halacha still applies. And therefore, he did not write down. Any chedushim we have from him is what, from his Talmidim, and so on, that the Chassam Sofer brings, here and there brings from him. So we have over here on the sheet, take a look here, number 4, on top. Now this is from the Drushes Chassam Sofer. However, this piece that we have here, this is on the bottom. There's Hagoyas. There are here comments by the person who did the editing. His name was Rabbi Yosef Naftali Stern, many, many years ago. And the Chassam Sofer wrote a hesped on his Rebbe. We did not record the hesped. It's an amazing, amazing hesped. There's not the time for that. What's Negei is to what we're learning here in Nefesh HaChaim, this little piece. So here in the bottom, this is in the area of the bottom of the page of the hesped of Rav Nosson Adler from the Chassam Sofer. And here's a little anecdote. It says like this. Hine mefursim v'noide lamodai is mefursim migdulosoi shel ish eloikai hazeh. This great godly man, me, Rav Nosson Adler. It's enough what we see in the hesped where the Chassam Sofer, how he's maspid his Rebbe. Fine. However, the Moitzi Lior, the person who put out the sefer, he writes, "Ach sipur echod mahar b'sipurim ereshem poi." I'll just, he says, make one note. One of these sipurim, "Memashi shomati," what I heard myself, "Mikvoid moirichomi," from my shver, "Harava goin Reb Shloim Alexandri sefer zechron lavrocha." He says, "Come upon him." He says, "Shishoma," he heard it. Not as my shver heard it. Mipe kodosh oviv moran Reb Shimon Sofer zechusa yongelain mukro. Reb Shimon Sofer was the son of the Chassam Sofer, right? Okay. So the source of this maise is what Reb Shimon Sofer told this maise coming up now. Reb Shimon Sofer, let's remember, was the son of the Chassam Sofer. He was the Rav in Kruke. Says now Reb Shimon Sofer said as follows: Shibetel yaldusoi. Reb Shimon Sofer says, when I was a young boy, his chilichtav, he started writing Toildoi Shel Oviv Ve'al Raboi Reb Nosson Adler Zechusin Yogam Aleinu. Oviv Ve'al Raboi Reb Nosson Adler Kos of Malach Hashem Tzavokos. In order of Shimon Sofer, he wanted to write biography. So he wrote a little bit of biography of his father, the Chassam Sofer. And he also wrote some of the biography of Reb Nosson Adler. And when he titled Reb Nosson Adler, he titled Reb Nosson Adler as being a Malach Hashem Tzavokos. Valpi Mikre, by accident, Roach Chassam Sofer Rishimoisav. The Chassam Sofer saw his notes. Now the Chassam Sofer was walking by something, and he sees the notes. And what does he see? He sees how his son, Reb Shimon, titles Reb Nosson Adler. What title does he give him? Malach. He gives him a title, Malach. Vekora Oisoi Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer called him. He called his son. Vomaloi. And he said, he spoke Yiddish, Deutsch, you know, this Yiddish and German, that was the Chassam Sofer, the Pressburg type of Yiddish. And he says, "Was hast du da geschrieben auf mein Rebbe?" What did you write on my Rebbe? "Malach Hashem Tzavokos, es ist kein Malach so weit gekommen." A Malach never reached his Madrege. "Es hat kein Malach dazu solche gewesen. Was mein Rebbe, wat chasrei imat malikim." You're writing, you have degraded my Rebbe. You wrote my Malach Hashem Tzavokos. Some say, you wrote my Rebbe is a Malach. A Malach never came to him. A Malach never reached his Madrega. A Malach never had this chus of being as great as my Rebbe. Veshtikul HaSoge. Talking about, Reb Chaim is talking about who's greater. Is it a Malach or a Zodan? He says, it's a Bezoyan. He says, calling my Rebbe a Malach, he says. A Malach never was Zoichet to be like my Rebbe. Don't compare my Rebbe to a Malach. A Malach never made it that high. But let me show you another thing. But Reb Nosson Adler, we're talking about it. It's a paper called Aleph Kosav. It was written by Yid Reb Yitzchok Weiss, who was a talented Ksav Sofer. It goes back about 100 years ago. And he says as follows. Sipper li shoychet ubayedik mumche echot. Here, I heard, he says, from a shoychet. Meyire Hashem mekil kedoy shenaymark. And he even gives the name Reb Hersh Meir. It was Bishnas Tofresh Samach Vov. You see, it's about 100 years, a little more even. Okay? This was actually 1906. 1906. Tofrei Samarvot. Okay, here in 1906. Shebe'ez ha-yoysoi, he says, lekabel ksav kabola, he went to take kabola for shechitas. He wanted to receive a smicha for shechitas, eis la-hagoyin Reb Shimon Sofer b'kruke. Terem hechelu l'nasoysa b'dinim, before he gave him the test. Sipraloi, so again, Reb Shimon Sofer, by the way, Reb Shimon Sofer was in the previous maisa too. He was the one who wrote the biography. So Reb Shimon Sofer says, "Shishoma mikvoit kedushas mar oviv hachsam sofer zechus yogin aleinu." And this is what Reb Shimon Sofer told the sheikhet, the prospective sheikhet, what he heard from his father, the chassam sofer. Pamachas bo echod shirotzeli es sheikhet uboidik eisel hagoyin hakodish hagoyin Reb Nosson Adler zal. He came from Nosson Adler sheyenaseu veyitloi kabola al shchitus sheikhet uboidik. Kitzer, someone came from Nosnadl to be tested, to give him smicha, to give him a kabbalah on shechitas. Nordrum Nosnadl said, come to me Erev Shabbos. But not Stam Erev Shabbos. Before, he says, I'm ready to do Hadlokas Neiris, to fix, to prepare the Neiris, to prepare the candles for Shabbos. Fetziva Olav Sheber Shabbos Kodesh, Be'ez Shemetiv Es HaNeiris, Yovel Lefon of Baburzeh. You'll come to me when I'm busy preparing the candles for Hadlokas Neiris. Vahika Sheboho Ish HaNal Lechedroi, when the man arrived, the Talmud arrived, when he came to the cheder of Rav Nosnadl, Be'ez Ahi, Nis Aleph, he fainted. This is the Chasam Sofer. They're telling this Meister. The man fainted. Ubekoshi, with great difficulty, hikitsuhu. They awakened him. Umiyad Omar. And when he came to, he said, Shemekabel Olav, from now on I'm mekabel shlo yirtzel yeshoyche the boy they call me. I don't want to ever want to be a sheikh ever again. Why? What did he see? Why did he faint? Ki agoyin ha-kodish zechusi yogin aleinu. In other words, Rav Nosan Adler, who at that time, again, omad oz v'tikin v'herich kli Hashem en l'ner, he showed him how many Gehenims are full with Shoichtim, because they're not Elche Shoichtim. He wanted to show him what kind of a Gehenim he might end up in. So he showed him their Tzuris are Gehenim, he says. And that's what caused him to faint. This is what some Sofer, but if Shimon Sofer that I heard from my father, and I got to tell you one more little thing, you have to see this, because I'm going to conclude with this. Mavish, you have to see this. This is a Maisa once, many years ago, I had repeated this, but this is five lines over here. Take a look, Rabbi Yisai. Again from the Sefer Alef Kosa. Harabani Hatzadik, there was a Yid, his name was Maharash Levuv Talmud Morn Chasam Sofer Higidli. Okay, Talmud Chasam Sofer. Shepam Achas Besimchis Teire Umaron Azal means Chasam Sofer, our Rebbe, have a Bedich Date Meoid. He was in a very good mood. It was Simchis Teire and the Chasam Sofer was in a very good mood. V'chol Haloim Dim Ubnei HaYeshiva Niskapzu El Moron. They all came to the Chasam Sofer to be with him. You know what? V'hayayin Kolam in Ashulchan. They ran out of wine. What did Chasam Sofer say? They ran out of wine. Omar Morono Bezeh Haloshin, said Chasam Sofer, Im Hoyisi Roitze, if I would want Lehishtamish Bikoicho Shul Rebbe, Hagoyna Kodesh Mrabnos Nadr Hakoyin Zatzal, if I would want, Hoyisi Yochel Lehoitzi Yayin Litzar Chamesuba Min HaKoistel, Ech Ein Adarki Bekach, I could have wine coming from the walls. But I would want to use the Koich of my Rebbe, tremendous Koich of Kabbalah. But I don't want to be mishtamish with this kind of koiches, be mishana the teva that way. So he says, if I would have wanted, I can have wine run from the walls. We talk about malach, we talk about odom. Chasam Sofer says, man can reach a madrega, a malach never had a schus. Halavai, we should have shom shaychis. This is godless odom, Rabbi.